We've had a whole bunch going on the last couple of weeks. So if y'all don't mind, I'm going to take a little break tonight, and Brother Rick's going to come and delight us with the word of the Lord tonight, bring us a devotional, and set us all up and encourage us to pray. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Rick, and just take your liberty and enjoy.
Good evening, Landmark, and welcome once again. I would like to just kind of get right into the word tonight. One of the things that's recently happened, pastors mentioned that we've had a lot of changes that take place. I've been blessed to be able to kind of help administrate with the children's church. And that reminded me a lot of Sunday school whenever I was growing up. How many people remember the little flannel boards that you would put the little cutouts on? I've been thinking about those a lot, and I've been thinking about some of the stories that were told. You know, you had Jonah and the whale. You know, you had Moses and the tablets. You had Daniel in the lion's den. And, you know, that's kind of a kid story, we think, because we use it so often with the kids. But all of those stories that are in Scripture are breathed full of life and edification. They're for us grown-ups as well. So what I want to do tonight is kind of revisit that story of Daniel. Yeah, I know you know it, but bear with me. We may go somewhere that you haven't been before. Now, the problem with when we hear that story is that many of us think about the kids' version, you know, with the coloring pages. And we think of Daniel being this young man who was just, you know, I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to pray anyway, regardless of what that decree by King Darius says. And I'm going to get thrown in the lion's den. I'm going to sleep with the lions, pet the lions. I'm going to spend a restful night. I'm going to get up. The end. That's not really the story. So if you think about it, you know, Daniel was not a handsome young man. Daniel was probably handsome, but by that time he was in his 80s. He was very seasoned. He had spent his whole life talking to and trusting God. He served under four kings in Babylon. He served under Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. We won't even talk about Cyrus tonight. Boy, I can get in a rabbit hole there. If you remember the last administration, there was a lot of comparisons to Cyrus's reign. But that's a whole different topic. So Daniel had a long legacy. He was an older 80-year-old man now that was going to go out dancing with lions. You've heard dancing with wolves? Well, he was dancing with the lions. So tonight's passage, he was serving under Darius. And an interesting note, at least to me, was when Darius was appointed king, one of the first things he did was transform how the kingdom was structured. He set up 120 satraps, which if you're not familiar with what a satrap is, that would be like an overseer, a regional jurisdiction. And then over them, over that 120, he set up three governors. And Daniel was one of those three governors because he had a lot of, he was just praised for his excellence. As a matter of fact, part of what the story talks about and deals with was the jealousy of the other two overseers because Darius was thinking about, wow, Daniel is so excellent. I want to put him in charge of the entire country, and that way I can kind of kick back and just take the royalties, so to speak. Now, the government transformation, does that kind of sound a little bit like what we're going through today? You know, a few years ago, we had the Homeland Security that was put into place. So now, thanks to Homeland Security, if you are a parent who is concerned about your children's education, you just may be a domestic terrorist. You may be one of the things that the nation really has to fear. While Trump was in office, we came up with Space Force. So now, guess what? We can not only have war on the planet, we can have war above the atmosphere. Is it a good thing to have? Probably, because that's the way the world is going. But it's a scary thing to think that there's that level of weaponry that is put up in space. And, you know, here recently, this is the one that really kind of I see as ironically humorous. The Disinformation Governance Board. Now, as far as I can tell from the person that they have running that department, probably they're going to take disinformation to a whole new level. We will get a tremendous amount of disinformation, so they will probably fulfill their goal. And here, just within the last couple of weeks, we now have the Office of Environmental Justice. So government is changing. Now, the job of these three Babylon governors was basically to levy taxes. Does that sound like our government today? They're really good at taxing us. And to protect from rebellion. You know, let's do a lot of investigation and rebellion about January 6th, but the summer of love, you know, that didn't get protected from so very well. So our government is doing some odd things. You know, basically what these three governors were set up to do was to guard the money, make sure that Babylon was profitable. And Babylon was an incredibly rich, rich city. So with that, let's get to our story. In Daniel chapter 6 is where we're going to reside tonight. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Keep the coins. Verse number 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now, is there an excellent spirit in you? Of course. The Holy Spirit resides in you. And you have the spirit of Daniel, evidenced by the fact that you are here tonight ready to pray. You are ready to side in the war against darkness on the side of heaven by doing your warfare. But just like against Christians today, there was jealousy and hatred against Daniel because of his relationship that he had with God. Now, how many governors were there? Three. The other two were not very excited about Daniel's promotion. They became jealous and they decided to go after Daniel, get him out of the way so one of them could become the second in command instead. So they begin to falsely accuse him. Take this guy down. Now, how often do we see that taking place today? We see somebody who is put in a position where they are still speaking about morality and values, godly things. Oh, we got to take that person out. No way. But they could not find any fault in him. So instead, they persecuted his faith. Verse number 5. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Now, do we see signs in our country that Christianity is being prosecuted? You know, they close the churches, but they leave Walmart open during the COVID situation. You know, we have people that are picketing churches so they can kill babies. We demand the right. One of the most ironic signs that I saw was somebody was holding up a sign that says, "Abortion saves lives." Huh? Now, I hope you did not see this video clip. It was one of those things where, oh gosh, now I cannot unsee this, but I sure wish I could. In St. Peter's Cathedral, the old cathedral in Manhattan, there was a woman that was there wearing far too less one-piece bathing suit than she ought to have. She had a bunch of dolls that she had stuffed in, and she was pulling the dolls out, and she's saying, "I'm aborting my babies, I'm aborting my babies." She was saying a whole lot of other stuff, too, that I certainly will not repeat anywhere, but especially not in the house of God. But one of the things that just got me, this shows how demonically evil these thought processes are. God killed his kid, why can't I kill mine? What sort of debased mind goes to that type of violence? So the leaders got together and petitioned the king to decree that only he could be worshipped for 30 days. Worship me? Yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea. Let's walk in pride and selfishness and arrogance. And it was put down in writing just like today's laws, and then the violators would be thrown into the lion's den. Verse 6, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king. Now, I'd like to bring attention to that word thronged. In the original Aramaic language, it was regash, which meant to be in tumult. Now, if we look at the definition of that, it's great emotional disturbance, agitation of mind, great noise, as of a crowd, confusion, and agitation. Now, how much tumult do we see today in our society? As I read through this, I'm seeing so many parallels to what we are doing currently. Verse 7, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and the advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed. In other words, they wanted to cancel Daniel for being moral, decent, and God-fearing. Cancel culture is nothing new. I just may have seen that happen lately. I'm sure you have too. But in spite of all that happens, the accusations, the wanting him removed, Daniel stands strong in the midst of it all because he has a supernatural faith and a relationship with God that has been built over the past 8 decades of his life. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He didn't wait until there was emergency and fall down onto the floor and say, oh God, help me. He established that relationship. Now, why was it 3? Well, if we look at the meaning of 3 in Scripture, it's harmony, new life, completeness. We have the Trinity of our God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, let me pause here for just a moment. You know, there's some prosperity preachers that would try to give you a message that says, oh, you're a born-again believer, so that means that life is going to be good for you. You know, every problem that you ever had been nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago, and God is just going to make everything wonderfully great. Well, I don't know what book they're reading, because that's not reality. Jesus said it this way in John 16:33, and you all know this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In Jesus we have peace. Didn't say in the world we would have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He shut the lion's mouth. Now, here's the truth about lions. In Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, we all know this, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Yes, the lions are real, but they are spiritually guided. Now, when you're working to advance the kingdom of God, when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and put people in your path that try to tear down what God is building up, hear me, church. When you're obedient to what God called you to, not everybody is going to be excited about that. You're going to face opposition. But don't be afraid. Just be ready and faithful, because there's no greater thing than to see God use you to accomplish his purpose. Now, what is his purpose? It's really simple. He wants to transform lives. And each and every one of us is called to that ministry of reconciliation. Doesn't matter what we do beyond that. There are offices, there are callings, there are gifts. all of these things are wonderful and are used for the purposes of the kingdom. But the purpose of that kingdom is to win the lost. Lord does not want to have anybody lost. Now, if you're not having opposition, I remember one time, Jerry Seville was telling a story about how a woman came to him and said, "Well, you know, Brother Jerry, you know, you and Brother Copeland, and, you know, you guys are always talking about how the devil is just always attacking you and coming against you. Devil leaves me alone." Well, maybe the devil don't see you as too much of a threat. If you are doing what God has called you to do, the devil will stand against you. If you don't have opposition in your life, I'll tell you what, warning alarm going off. Do something to get opposition. Now, Daniel had three options that he could exercise against that opposition. The first was either to stop praying. "Well, you know, I've been praying for 80 years. What's a month off to save my life? You owe me that, right, God?" Yeah, come on. He could go up to his room and just pray silently, even without moving his lips. God knows the heart, so I could just stand here. Oh, guys, I'm in deep prayer, can't you tell? Oh, you can't? That was the same thing that David could have chosen to do. But he didn't. He kept on keeping on. He was praying out loud, praying in public, risking the lions. That was the option that he took. He risked everything because his relationship with God was strong enough to trust the outcome. Now, listen to verse number 10. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." So how often? Three times. Remember, three means complete. Maybe Daniel didn't feel complete without enough time with the Lord in devotional prayer. I remember there was this guy named Jesus. He says, "Can you not abide even 1 hour?" I love how Daniel did this, kneeling before God. Hear this, church. You know, I'm not saying that you can't pray sitting or standing. And if there's a physical limitation, you know, do what you need to do. But there's something about that posture of kneeling. Daniel was able to stand before men because he kneeled before God. John the Baptist said it well. "I must decrease so that he can increase." We need to put ourselves in that humble place. Verse 11, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." Uh-oh. Busted. Verse 16, "So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." Now remember, you can't go back once it's in writing, you know, in the Persians and the Medes culture. That was law, and it was just as well scribed in stone as, you know, scribbled on papyrus. "But the king spoke to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you.'" Yep, going to cancel this dude. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for the law. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what happens. We don't know if he began to sing, to pray, to worship. Was he afraid? Did he stand without fear? I think you probably had fear. I mean, that's natural. That doesn't mean you don't have faith. It means you're human. Did he do the Dr. Doolittle thing and then use the lions as a pillow, petting the lions? "Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr." Scripture doesn't record that. All we know is that God shut the mouths of the lions and he saved Daniel. Verse 22, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Not only did God rescue Daniel because of his righteousness, but he also punished his enemies. Verse 24, and the king gave the command, and they brought these men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Lions eating their own. Today is the same. We see that on the left, where you can potentially not be left enough. You know, look at Elon Musk, how he's being attacked right now because he was incredibly liberal, but now he's just not liberal enough. And God received glory through that ordeal. Verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Now, we need to still have time for prayer, so I just want to summarize a couple of things. Is that, you know, the lions are real, and the lions are a very good symbol for what Satan does to us. Because what the devil will do is he wants to consume us, just like a lion would consume the prey. And he attacks the weak. If you take a look, you know, watch the National Geographic specials. You know, they aren't out there trying to take down an elephant. They're down there trying to take down a weak or lame antelope, something that they can catch. And they intimidate, just as the lions do. You know, lions roar to show how big they are, to scare their prey and the competitors. The devil also roars to instill fear. But you know what? That roar is a sound. That roar is not power. And finally, just as lions devour their prey, you know, I'll tell you, the devil, just like lions, doesn't eat with silverware and refined table manners. He wants to consume everything until there is nothing left. Now, Daniel was prepared to fight. And that's what we need to be. We need to have on the full armor of God, and then having all done all to stand, then to stand. Daniel was prayed up, and he was faithed up. He had the armor, and he wielded the sword. When all that was done to stand, he stood. But know this. Before Daniel was ever thrown into the lion's den, the lions were already defeated. That's what God has done for us. The spirit of the enemy is just a lion in a den of Daniels. And I want you to think about that. You know, they're overpowered and overcome. And that den of Daniels is you. People of God, you are prayed up and faithed up, you're built up, you're armored up, you're dressed up, and you're weaponed up. You are lifted up and raised up for a time such as this. So come on, Daniels, do your part in defeating these lions. Close those lions' mouth through your fervent prayer. And just like God did for Daniel, shut up, lion. Daniel's March 4th. So let's take a little bit of time right now to March 4th in prayer. I'll tell you, you know, there is no greater battle strategy than when a believer falls on their knees and said, Lord, your will be done. Love each and every one of you, and thank you so much for being part of the army of hosts and for ushering in what our future is going to be and protecting the future for our next generation. Thank you. God bless you all. Lord, I just ask you as we pray that your ears would be open, and they always are, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that as we offer up our petitions, our supplications, our worship, Lord, that you hear from heaven. And I just thank you, Father, that your mighty hand moves in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Tanya, I want you to come, honey, and I want you to pray over those babies. To see that girl doing that with those little baby dolls was the saddest, most reprobate thing I have ever seen. I had to turn it. I couldn't watch it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if God heard the sound of Cain's voice and Abel, when Cain killed Abel, God said, Cain, I hear your brother's blood crying out to me from the ground. Did you know he hears all 60 million of those babies? Tanya, we're going to come into agreement. And I want us to ask our Father tonight to hear the voice of those babies and do something about it. And just come down and strike these evil people. You see, you shouldn't pray like that. Oh, no, 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 no. All through the New Testament and Old Testament. No, no, no. We pray too soft prayers sometimes. Come on, let's hear it.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Let's all come to agreement. When there's one or two or three, you know how God works. So we're all coming in agreement. So this prayer will be very powerful because we're all coming in agreement with God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for your work, Father God. I thank you, Father God, because even though these things are happening, Father God, even these things that are happening right now, Father God, that you have, Father God, an assignment, Father God, that you have the right people coming, Father God, to destroy, Father God, the things that are happening right now, Father God, that you're going to bring angels and you're going to use, Father God, even the least people that we would even think that would be used, Father God. This is a time, Father God, where you will show your signs, you will show your wonders, and you will show your miracles, Father God. I thank you, Jesus, because you will come to a place, Father God. Us people will come to a place, Father God, that we will get sick and tired, Father God, and we will stand up to your word, Father God, and we will say that what is right is right and what is wrong, Father God, that we will have the strength, that we will have the power, that we will have the tenacity, Father God, to stand up, Father God, that we will not be ashamed, Father God. We need bold people, Father God. We need bold women, bold men of God, Father God, not just to walk around and say that we're Christians, Father, but that we will be the person, Father God. We will be that example, Father God, to others by our actions, by the way we walk, by the way we talk, by the way we act, Father God, that everyone here, Father God, and everyone that calls themselves a Christian, Father God, that they will be changed, Father God, that you will bring them, Father God, to their knees, Father God, that they will have the desire, Father God, every morning that they will want to worship you first, that they will want to desire you first, Father God, that we need to come to that place, Father God, to overpower what's going on with these babies, Father God, because if we just stand strong and we all believe, Father God, that we can do this, Father God, and this stuff will have to stop, this abortion will have to stop, killing these babies will have to stop. Oh, Heavenly Father, you're just picking and choosing, Father God, all your people, Father God. We will see, Father God, your signs. We will see your wonders, Father God. Your light, Father God, will be brightened, Father God. All these dark places, Father God, will be revealed, Father God, through your light, Father God. Oh, yalabo soko, tialalaba si, tialabo soko ta. Yando yolomomo soko, tialalaba so. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that you're bringing us to a place, Father God. I thank you, Jesus, that you're bringing us to a place, Father God, to open our eyes, Father God, to see, Father God, the truth, Father. And anybody, Father God, any of your servants, any of your people, any of those that call themselves, Father God, that they know you, that they know who you are, Father God, that you will open their eyes, Father God, that they will see, Father God, where they have to come to the place, Father God, with you. to do, Father God. And you will show us. You will give us signs. You will give us visions. You will give us dreams, Father God, to bring us to that place, to that right place, Father God. Even if it's just to speak to one person, Father God, because we're only three people away to get to that top, Father God. We're only three people away to get to where we need to get to, Father God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Father God, I bind, Father God, everything that devil has, that assignment that the devil has on those children. I bind that in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind that assignment that you have on those babies. You will not touch those babies. You will not kill those babies. You devil, you go back to hell where you belong in the mighty name of Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan. You will not have these children. You will not destroy these babies and these moms that have been lied, that have been deceived, that have been said it's okay. I bind that demon right now from hell in Jesus' name. Don't mess with the babies. Don't mess with the babies, devil. You are messing with the wrong people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you will show yourself approved. Thank you, Jesus, that you will show yourself approved, God. Thank you, Jesus, because you're so powerful, Father. Thank you, Jesus, because you're doing something even now, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, because things are moving right now, Father God. Whatever we ask in heaven, it shall come down here on earth, Father God. That's what your word says, Father. Your word says when two or three gather together, Father God, that those words, Father God, will be answered, Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you because faith comes by hearing the word, Father God. I believe, Father God, whatever we ask for, Father God, it shall be established in your name, Father God. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, save those little girls. Father, if there be a sweet girl out there somewhere right now thinking of having an abortion, I pray that you'll just put her in right, connect her with the right person at the right place at the right time that will tell her she doesn't have to do that. Present a family to her that says, baby, have that baby for me. I'll raise it up and take care of it, Lord. I pray you'll turn this thing around and you'll protect that Supreme Court. Protect those people that were bold enough to stand up and say, oh, no, you don't. And this Roe versus Wade was not constitutional, so we'll overturn it anyway. Father, protect them, protect their houses, protect their little children as they go to school, if they get to go to school. And Father, I pray you will protect their property. Do not even let one protester, Lord, come near their grass. Don't even let them cross the sidewalk to get to the grass. Put a wall of fire around those, Lord, who have stood up. They've stood strong. Now, Father, I hear you saying, I held the constellation together. I hold the universe together. Can I not hold you, my people? I held the universe, and I held this earth, and I threw it out there, and I flung it on nothing. And if I hung this earth on nothing, can I not take care of you? For those of you that say, I have nothing, you've got everything, because you do have the I am. You've got everything, because I said it is finished, it is done, and that's everything, every it that you'll ever come in contact with. And I hear the Lord say one more time, church, he is saying that all the years that cankerworm, that locust, all of the worms of hell have eaten, they've come to destroy. They have eaten a little here and a little there and a little here until you feel like it's just about eating everything. And now those locusts are eating at the church. They've always eaten at the church, but I guess they think they can hit Landmark, and it's a little here, and it's a little there, and some are being scattered, don't even know why they're being scattered. They may have 10 excuses, but Lord, I pray, you said, I will restore. So rend the heavens and come down. Lord, split these heavens wide open and come on down and do as you please with this little church on the corner. This old barn, Lord, this Olive Street place, Lord, we are here. We are here and we call you. We call you our Savior. We call you our Lord. We call you our salvation. And Lord, you are the God not only of this universe, but the armies of heaven. You are the captain of the Lord of hosts. So Father, I thank you that when you split those heavens, you will come down here like a pent up flood. And Lord, those angels will come forth to accomplish your work. They are flaming, flaming, flaming fire. Lord, they are flaming angels come to minister to your children. All churches, lift your hands and say, come on, come on, come on and minister to me, you flaming angels of heaven. Hallelujah. Ah, we bless your name. We bless your name. Oh, think of the years. He said, no, I'm going to restore. The time is now. I'll do it in its time. Its time is his time. His time is its time. It time. What time? Whatever the devil chewed up from you. Whatever he stole from you. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Lord, we believe you. Come on, take his wisdom, church. Take that spirit of knowledge that we talked about last week, that spirit of understanding. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Father, I thank you for being with us tonight. Ooh, I feel your presence in this room right now. Precious Jesus. See, church, there's people praying all over the world, and they're praying all over cities, and they're praying all over America. Now, there's just a few of us here tonight, but we threw our prayers in the mix. Whatever it was you prayed, all by yourself. You were praying with somebody in Alaska, somebody in some little church, some giant church, some mega church. No, we threw our prayers right along with them. And it's powerful. Powerful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Rick, for ministering to us tonight. Thank you. Wonderful Jesus, bless us and keep us, cause your face to shine on us. Oh, turn your attention toward us, Lord. We already have your love. Help us to see how much you love us. One of the hardest things for the people of God to ever get and understand is how much you love us. Oh, as you turn your countenance and your face toward us, oh, Lord, not only show us your graciousness, because we know that your mercy and grace follow us all the days of our lives, but as you turn your face toward us, may peace rest upon our homes and our lives and our minds and America and the president. Save the president, save his administration, and God, deal with the demons. Set the demons' mouth shut. Set the demons' mouth shut. You shut the mouth of lions, you can shut the mouth of demons and send them running. Hallelujah. Satan, the Lord rebuke you, just like he did. Just exactly like he did through the prophets of old, in Jesus' name, like Isaiah. Amen, church? Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. Ladies, don't forget tomorrow night. Sign up if you haven't signed up. And we're going to have a great time. Amen. God bless you.